It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right. You're listening to You Talk to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. And today actually marks my one-year anniversary of You Talking to Me here at CJAM. So happy anniversary to me and You Talking to Me. And when there's an accident or we need immediate medical attention, it's the emergency medical services we rely on to provide us with pre-hospital care to get us to the hospital and in many cases to save our lives. Joining me today is Michelle Murphy. Michelle is with Essex Windsor Emergency Medical Services and has been for over 20 years. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to You Talking to Me.
Hi, Big JD. Thanks for having me. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, thank you very much. So you've been in this business for over 20 years. What got you interested in the field?
Yes, it's been 21 years, actually. I started in May of 1990, which has actually really flown by. It doesn't seem like I've been working that long. Mm-hmm. I can't say that I was a kid that grew up always wanting to be a paramedic. I didn't really even know what one was. I grew up in the county. I lived in Bell River when I was a kid and still do. And I can honestly say I don't think I ever saw an ambulance in my whole childhood. I didn't even think it was a career option. Mm-hmm. So I went through high school and my grades were fairly okay, I guess. And I actually applied for... What I wanted to do, I wanted to be a gym teacher. I came to the university for a year, and in one of my biology classes, I met a guy that, you know, the classes are so crazy big here, and we would go to lunch together, and he was a paramedic, and he was taking part-time classes here at the university, and so we would sit at lunch together, and he would tell me all kinds of stories about his work, and I thought it was crazy interesting, and a job that, you know, you're outside, you're physical, and didn't really have a boss hanging over you all the time. And I took a ride over to St. Clair College, and I put my application in, and I got accepted into the next year. So that's how it came about.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you ever think about or know anyone who left EMS to become a doctor?
No, you know what? I can't say that I know anyone that has left to be a doctor. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people that leave and they go to the fire department.
Oh, really?
Yeah. People leave us to go to the fire and people leave police to go to the fire. I've not known any fire department that any fire employee that's ever left to come anywhere else but where they're at. So I'm not sure what's up with that.
Are nurses or anything like that? Have people left to become like, you know, to go more into the medical profession in any way? Or
there's a lot of people that do both. Well, not a lot. There's a few people that have done both. Like there's, you know, some people do nursing as well. And our schedule is pretty busy. So it's hard to, you know, fit in another job unless it's really part time, I would say.
Right. Okay. So when you went through the program at St. Clair, how long was that program?
When I went, it was a one-year program when I went.
Probably longer now.
It's a two-year program now. And things, in the last 20 years, I can't believe the amount of change there's been. Like, honestly, when I went to school and when I started working, there wasn't a lot that we could do. Like, you know, we had oxygen. We didn't even have cardiac monitors at that time. It was just, you know, you'd go to someone's house, pick them up, you know, give a little bit of first aid maybe and bring them to the hospital.
Right.
In the 20 years I've been working, like the changes have been astronomical. Like we have life-saving drugs now. We have intubation and IVs and all kinds of different medical advances that are just, you know, we bring emergency care out to the streets, really.
At the time you were going to school, did you have to do any kind of internship for the program or anything like that? Or did you do one or?
Yeah, when the program now, it's a two-year program and you have your school part and then you ride out with paramedics that are in your, like the Windsor St. Clair College students, they ride out in Windsor. The Chatham St. Clair College kids, they ride out mostly out in the county somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of the schooling too is, you know, you actually get to do some hands-on stuff
right.
and you really find out if you're going to like it or not. It's definitely not meant for everybody. and hopefully you get a good feel for it in the first little bit. It's a program that if you don't pass, you know, in semesters, if you don't pass the first semester, you're done. You mm-hmm. don't get to continue on. So you either are all in or you're out.
Right. You must go through regular training, you know, advanced training courses or things like that. Do you have to take different courses and things like that through
through our work, we have mandatory training mm-hmm. every year. We have it once a year. It's an 8-hour day. There's two different levels of paramedics. There's PCPs and ACPs, so a primary care paramedic. That's someone who's gone to school for the 2 years of the college program. And that's where you start off.
Right.
And that's where you can stay if that's where you want to stay. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to get a little bit more education, you can become an advanced care paramedic. And you have to go to school. I think it's around about another year of school by the time you put in your clinical practice and then your preceptorship with a crew. And that gives you a little bit more skill set and you get to do a little bit more stuff, I mm-hmm. guess. And for the training, you have an 8-hour, every year you have an 8-hour day, and then the advanced care paramedics have to do 16 hours of continuing education credits.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that, it can be all kinds of different stuff. And everyone really does training throughout the year. Like, you have to have your CPR renewed all the time. And, you know, any new equipment that comes in, they do training on that, whether it's through the computer or, you know, just a quick day or whatever.
Right. Mm. So in your line of work, you know, through the years, what has changed more? Like, I would imagine technique has changed in some of the things that you have to do, but also equipment. So you mentioned a little bit about equipment, but has one changed more than the other, or maybe we can talk about both?
You know, I guess the more, as the years go on, it's just the more responsibility you have, the more training you have along with the equipment. So as things change, you know, you become more... you have more options, right? Before mm-hmm. it used to be, if you got a call for someone who was short of breath, you got there, you put oxygen on and get them to the hospital as quick as you can.
Right, yeah.
Now you have lots of options now. Like there's three or four or five different things you can do to help that person who's
right,
not
right
being
on the spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we really have come a really long way. And that's in part due to we work under a physician directly now. We work under his license and he makes protocols for us. And so we go by that. And mm-hmm. and he's a phone call away. We can call and, you know, and ask for variations of the protocols and that kind of stuff. So we really, really have a wide variety of options we can do for just about anything, really.
Is it just a physician that, is it a team that
We work under one physician's license, and his name is Dr. Paul Bradford, mm-hmm. and he's great. He is very open-minded, and he trusts his paramedics, and you know he's very pro-medic. He really wants us to get out there and do stuff. So it's mm-hmm. really great to have somebody like that, and. On a daily basis, the people that we call, they're the physicians that are working in the eMERGE that day. So can call either Hotel Du or Met and get the guy who's working or the woman that's working, whoever is the base hospital physician mm-hmm. for that day, and ask for orders or direction or anything like that.
And you're always with a partner when you're out?
For the most part, everybody has a partner. They do have a couple of first response units. There's mm-hmm. one in the city and there's one in the county. And that's for, it's kind of to cover off areas that don't have... That's a long response time, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
So if there's not a close transport vehicle, they have the first response person, mm-hmm. you know, roaming around that area in case there's something. They can get there first, and then they send a transport car right behind them to transport.
And you got your job pretty quick out of school when you were done?
I actually got a job before I graduated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And was it with the same company, though? Or?
Yeah, it was. Okay. I've worked for the same company my whole
career. Ever since you were... Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And tell us about the Essex Windsor EMS. How long has the company actually been around?
Essex Windsor EMS is the amalgamation of what was Windsor Provincial Ambulance.
Okay.
Which mm-hmm. they service the city of Windsor, mm-hmm. The county of Essex, which was Sun Parlour, and Pelee Island. So they amalgamated in January of 2001. Mm-hmm. And so now it's kind of, it took the city and the county and Pili, and we're all working as one with two divisions, a North and South division.
Right.
So, you know, pretty much it's the North division is the city and the South division is the county. So we're still kind of separate. There's some differences with both of those divisions. Like, I work in the North, so I work in the city. Mm-hmm. We, all the paramedics that work in the city, they rotate bases. You spend, you know, X amount of months at each station, and then you rotate. The county, if you work at a specific base in the county, that's your base. You stay there for as long as you
right.
want.
Yeah. Are there other companies as well based around the city? Like, I know there's some other small things, and maybe, you know, we'll talk about how that works or how that fits in with you guys. But I mean, are there other like full-blown ambulance or EMS services? Or
the closest other service to us is Chatham.
Oh, okay.
So if you graduate from St. Clair College, your options really, unless you want to move, are Essex, Windsor EMS
right.
or Chatham.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like, there used to be more options because there was a couple of other companies, but now Essex, Windsor is it or Chatham.
Right, okay.
Otherwise, you're moving.
And your vehicles are the same trucks that we associate with EMS and ambulance. It's the same thing nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, it kind of changed from ambulance to you know what I mean? Like emergency medical services, kind of the name. And
it did. I think when I first started, nobody knew really what to call us. We started out off as ambulance attendants or ambulance drivers, which
yeah.
just gets my blood to boil.
Ambulance driver.
I try and tell people they don't call police car drivers
yeah,
or
you
fire
just drive
truck driver.
Truck.
Yeah. So
that's funny.
It evolved into a paramedic. Just I don't know how that came about, but it's more of a it's a better description of really what we do. We
sure,
don't just
sure.
drive, and I don't know. It's better.
As I mentioned to you pre-show, I've never been really in an ambulance, so I don't know what's all inside there, and I guess I could be thankful that I haven't had to be in one
yes.
yet anyway. But can you give us kind of a description of, you know, what you have in there or kind of how it's laid out and, you know, some of the equipment that you do have in there?
Sure. We have, you know, we really do have so much stuff. We have stuff, you know, for if there's a car accident, all the immobilization equipment, like fracture boards and collars. Mm-hmm. When someone gets in an accident and they complain of neck pain or back pain, they get immobilized. So there's all of that. There's, you know, a bag full of airway equipment that if someone's not breathing or they're breathing terribly, there's that. There's a cardiac monitor. That's probably what we use the most, cardiac monitor. You hook someone up and you get a good cardiac rhythm and get all their vital signs and their oxygen saturation and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All the first aid equipment, bandages, you know, any
right, yeah.
kind of trauma like that.
Is there anything, do you do any type of surgery out in the field or?
No stitches. No,
right.
We bandage them up and package them up and we don't even have to clean them up. We just package them up dirty and go.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is nice.
And, is there only room really for one person to go in an ambulance, or would you put more people in? I mean, if there was a mass, you know,
if there was a mass casualty, you could take two safely. I would say there's place for one person on the stretcher, and then there's they call it a jump seat and a bench. So you really have, you know, if someone's not terribly injured and they're walking and able to get up into the car, you could take two.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be back with Michelle Murphy right after this.
Attention CJAM listeners. Are you a fan of CJAM's diverse programming? Do you believe in the tenets of democratic non-commercial media? Are you passionate about your community and looking for a way to contribute? CJAM's Board of Directors is seeking applications from interested members of the community at large to serve on our Board of Directors. If you feel you've got the time and the drive to contribute, we'd like to hear from you. Send a letter outlining your qualifications and any details you feel are pertinent to statcjam@uwindsor.ca. That's statcjam@uwindsor.ca. The Board of Directors will be reviewing the applications to fill the vacant seats in October. Only candidates who the Board desires to interview will be contacted. That email address is again statcjam@uwindsor.ca.
All right, we're back. You're listening to You Talking to Me on CJAM 99.1 FM, Redefining Radio in Windsor and Detroit. And I'm speaking with EMS paramedic Michelle Murphy. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about qualifications and licenses and things like that. I mean, CPR and any other things that, you know, you guys need on a regular basis. And
yes, you to work at any ambulance service, you need your college diploma. So you have to have graduated from the paramedic program. Even after you graduate from that program, there is a provincial exam that you have to take. It's a 6-hour exam. To work, you have to have that that certificate. It's an advanced care. I forget what it's called. It's EMCA anyway, mm-hmm. And you have to have that. And then, so that's what you need to get hired into a service. And then once you get hired into a service, you have to be certified by the base hospital physician.
All right. Okay.
So if any. You know, even once you're working, if for some reason, you know, if something didn't go right and you lose your base hospital certification, you are not able to work after that. So mm-hmm. you either have to get remediated or, you know, retested. And
how often does something like that happen, that you get anything revoked or lose a license of some kind? Or
you know, it's really not an issue. Not in Windsor, as far as I know. Like, I mean, sometimes it happens just... you know, quickly until they can look into what happened,
right,
and
right.
then it
Maybe
turns out to be
yeah.
not the fault of the mm-hmm. medic or it's rare.
Is there any piece of equipment or technique or qualification even that you guys don't have that you wish was provided for you, or something that, you know, might be out there?
You know what? Our service right now is working. They're pretty proactive. Like, they're really working on getting new stuff and new equipment all the time.
Right, yeah.
Since Essex-Windsor took over this service. The big push right now, I would think, and I'm hoping, is hydraulic stretchers. Every call entails probably anywhere between 3 to 5 lifts. The stretcher alone probably weighs 80 pounds at the least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you put, you know, the average person, which if you look around, everybody sees that the average person is getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a heavy physical job.
Yeah.
So the whole idea of hydraulic stretchers would literally save everyone's back and hopefully get people more looking towards retirement. You know, this job is a great, great job. It's very hard to retire from.
Mm-hmm. That would seem like a no-brainer hydraulic
bed,
I guess.
Yeah. And you know what? It's we have 2 in our service right now, and mm-hmm. and I mean, I haven't had the opportunity to use it yet.
Somebody's lucky.
Yeah, yeah. Totally lucky. I'm trying to get on that list.
So what's the relationship, I guess, with the hospitals? How does that work? Or is it both hospitals? Like, hospital doesn't have their own... Or unless you guys are their own ambulance service, you know?
No, they're the 2 hospitals in Windsor. You know, you just go between the both. On any average day, they're both, they have a thing called time consideration. Mm-hmm. It means their department is full. So usually they're both on that time consideration. So at that point, the ambulance that are on the road, they just take turns. Our dispatch center mm-hmm. tells you when you arrive on scene, this is where you're going to take that person.
Right, okay.
Years ago, patients had the option of saying, you know, I prefer this hospital
right,
over
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Those days are done.
Okay.
You go where, and unfortunately, it's a big, you know, I don't know if people are aware of the code 7 issue. It's code 7 is when the paramedics get to the hospital, you bring your patient in, and there's no hospital beds to put them in.
Right.
So
yeah.
we sit with them until a bed opens up. So
I thought your job was just really cushy when
yeah.
I saw you guys all
oh, yeah.
just hanging
yeah.
out.
I'd rather do a call than be code 7.
You're
it's terrible.
There for a reason. Yeah.
yeah.
So we almost got into this. Are there other similar services out there, and do they help or hurt business for Essex-Windsor EMS, and or do they have their own niche? Like I'm thinking of like sports medic type stuff and things like that.
Sure. You know what? The other services that have popped up, they've not hindered our business at all.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was a little worried. I think that in our job, there are different codes for different calls. So there's code 1, 2, 3, and 4. 3 and 4 are the emergency calls,
right.
and 1 and 2 are transfers. So they're, you know, picking someone up, bringing them to an appointment that can't get there
okay,
any
yeah.
other way. The services that's popped up, those are the calls that they do.
Mm-hmm.
It seems since they've taken over doing that, our call volume has not went down at all.
Right.
So, you know, it's what we should be doing. We're doing the emergency calls,
sure.
and then they take the calls that, you know, they're not an emergency, and they still need to be done. But they're not tying up people who have this education for emergency care, and they're putting their skills to use on the calls that they should be. So,
are there any volunteer positions? Do you guys have volunteers at all for any
work? We don't have any. You know, we have people that do some volunteer work, and a perfect example is the Safety Village just had a children's fest on the weekend.
Okay, yeah.
And so we had a couple of paramedics go and volunteer their time for that.
Okay.
Besides that, Amherstburg used to be a volunteer service until Essex County took over, and now they're part of Essex Windsor EMS. So the day of the volunteer paramedic is done, I think. At least in this city, it is.
And now, do you do only, maybe you yourself only drive, but I mean you have only ground transportation, like ground EMS or?
Yeah, you can call for the helicopter. There's Orange. It's a paramedic.
Is that part of your?
It's not.
Okay,
no,
yeah.
No, we just do ground.
Is there anything in place to how is Essex Windsor funded? Is it's government funded?
Oh, you know what? I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Do you guys have any fundraiser type things or anything that that you do, or is it for other people, or do you do any for actually for your place?
We have a couple programs. We have we do fundraisers for. It's a program called Kool-Aid. It's a form that people fill out, they put it on their
fridge.
Hope
that thing doesn't come crashing through the wall. The big Kool-Aid guy.
Oh, yeah. You put it on your fridge. That's for, I mean, it can be for anybody. It's very helpful in the elderly community that when we come in, we see the form on the fridge, we can just take it. It has all their medical history, their medications, their allergies, so that if they're unable to answer, it's at hand.
Right.
We also have a golf tournament every year for one of our paramedics that passed away of cancer. It's a fundraiser. It's been very successful over the years. We do Relay for Life.
So, yeah, you guys are involved in quite a few things in the community, too.
We try and get involved
too,
in the community, yeah.
Yeah. Are there certain events in the city that you provide, like, standby-type service?
You know what? If you need a standby service, people who are requesting it, they have to put in a special request for it.
Okay.
And you can get that form on the Essex County website and print it off, and you put in the request, and then they'll let you know if it's possible or whatever.
And I think people are always curious about the things you've done as a paramedic, the things you've seen. I'm sure some things are awful, while some are probably very rewarding. I would imagine you've saved many lives, or, you know, even if at least just by getting somebody to where they need to be in a timely manner. Aside from getting someone to the hospital, there's providing of life-saving care on the way. And when you come to actually saving someone's life, is that something that you've done often in your career? Or
I would like to say that I've done it often.
Yeah.
I haven't, I don't think. You know what? This year was the very first year in our service, or in the 20 years that I've worked, that we had the first annual Survivor Day. I thought it was fantastic. This year, or in 2010, Essex Windsor EMS had 22 survivors, which means that at some point they were without vital signs.
Right.
And they came back to be fully functional, totally fine.
Sure. You said that's within a year's?
In one year they had 22, which is really great. And it's above the average of a lot of areas. So it was very good. I actually went, I met a lady that, you know, she was in cardiac arrest. We did the call and we got her back, and and she's great and awesome. And I met her and I talked to her, and, you know, she told me the whole story of what happened prior to, and it was great. Awesome, I thought.
Yeah, I did want to ask you about that, if you had been in contact with people that you saved somebody's life, you know, even a number of years ago, and maybe are still in some kind of contact, or from time to time they, you know, hey, I'm still here, happen? Or
no, this is a first. Well, I actually had met a gentleman that I had a part in saving his life too, but nothing that I would ever keep in contact. I just had seen him around the hospital, and his wife actually approached us and was like, you two were the crew that saved my husband. And it's great.
What would you say are some of the worst things, or maybe the worst thing that you've seen in your career?
Ooh, that is a long list.
Yeah,
you know,
I can imagine.
Without getting into anything specific, because I can't, there are terrible things that happen. And you know what? It really it changes you. You know, I've seen babies die, and of course, you know, that's what the kids' calls are terrible. Mm-hmm. So are the elderly. You know, every call that is tragic is tragic.
Right.
And I think that's what makes you a good paramedic, is that you have, it affects you. It mm-hmm. should. If you get to a point where it doesn't, I think then you start having problems with not being as good at your job as you should be.
Right. That was the next thing I wondered, if it, how it affects you emotionally. And you say that if it doesn't, is probably not a good thing.
Yeah. You know, I sat and I thought about, have I been affected? And at first I thought, no, I am good. Like I love my job, and I mm-hmm. feel like I don't have any problem. But you know, the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, I have a 12-year-old son that I tell him he's never owning a motorcycle.
Right.
And that's because of work. Uh-huh. And I tell him, you know, he's never going to smoke because that's because of work.
Right.
And
yeah.
It is probably what...
So subconsciously, you don't realize some of the things that you...
It forms my life,
yeah,
really.
Yeah.
I've mm-hmm. done it in such a long time and seen so many things
yeah.
that it really does make you think like, oh, dear, I hope that never happens.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I guess it does.
How about the most comical things? Is there something like, you know, that's happened that was very comical that...
I have a very funny story, and I'll make it quick. I was brand new. I was just a kid when I started. I mm-hmm. really had no experience. I probably didn't know what I was doing when I started. And we had picked up a young girl, and she complained of abdominal pain and, you know, didn't really have anything specific, but just, you know, real bad belly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we brought her into the hospital, and when you bring anyone into the hospital, you give your report to the nurse. And
right.
so I did that. And the nurse looks at me and she says, semen distress. And I thought, oh my God, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of semen distress. So she looks at me and thinks, what's the matter? I go, what? So I say to her, what is semen distress? She said, I said, does she seem in distress? So, and you know what? The nurse, from that day forward, we were friends, and we laughed about it on more than one occasion.
That is funny. So did you watch medical paramedic shows on television when you're growing up, or in your early days of doing this?
You know what? I can't say that I did. There was nothing. I mean, I watch Grey's Anatomy. I like it.
Yeah.
And I like that I can watch it. And, you know, my family says, what's this? What are they talking about? And I actually know what they're talking about, which is kind of cool. But
which leads me to asking you, how realistic are these shows? Are they done really well?
They are done well, I think, for the most part. Sure.
Do you see sometimes some of these things like on those shows, or House, or certain things you might see that you like, that doesn't really happen?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Like anything, I guess, right?
Yeah. Where can listeners find more information on the EMS services?
We have a website, and it's www.thecountyofessex.on.ca.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some information on there. The Kool-Aid forms are on there, actually. The requests for special events are on there. Gives you information on school and education and stuff like that. And I think as a service, we should really start working on a website, because I noticed preparing for this interview that there isn't a good one for us.
There's not much on the site there for you guys.
Not
on
at
the,
all.
At the, yeah.
No.
Okay.
So I'm on that.
More. That's cool.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Next time we have you on, we'll talk more about the website.
Great. Yeah.
All right. Well, really appreciate you having on the show. You on the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for the invite.
Well, it's good to know that these skilled EMS paramedics are just a call away when we need them. Accidents and health issues are a part of life, but of course we hope you all keep safe and sound. And once again, You Talking to Me may be moving to Wednesdays soon. The show time should remain the same. And I'm coming to mornings as well. All new show will be hosting at CJM with my co-host Lippo. It's Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. It's Takeoff of the Jabbercast, an internet radio show and podcast that Lippo and I have done for a number of years, about 7 years. And we recently released our last Jabbercast show in anticipation of the all new Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. And the word is it's coming soon on Thursdays, and either at 8 or 8:30 a.m. So keep an eye out on the CJM site for that, or the You Talking to Me website. And I will see you next week. Thanks for listening.